When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today. Ben Ferguson here, and if you're an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be a part of your investment portfolio. And I want you to visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investments to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that historically delivers sound returns. Learn more now at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
Welcome. It is Verdict with Senator Ted Cruz. Ben Ferguson with you. Donald Trump, he announced it. I've been indicted. Apparently, it's a 7-count indictment that has rocked the media world, and really, it is a shock to the country. Senator, your reaction to this, a former president being indicted for a second time now by the special counsel, Jack Smith.
Well, Ben, you and I are talking. It is 12:01 a.m. Friday morning. I was on an airplane when this indictment happened. I was flying back to the great state of Texas, so I'm in Texas now. And when I landed, I discovered what had been heavily leaked, had been heavily foreshadowed, that Donald Trump was going to be indicted today. I have to say, today is a very sad day in American history. It is a shameful day in American history. It is a disgraceful day in American history. Look, our Constitution establishes a system of justice where, number one, we have had, for 46 presidents, consistently a peaceful transfer of power, with each president leaving office on January 20th, at least in the modern times, and each new president coming in on January 20th. We have never, in over two centuries of our nation's history, had a new president who launched the entire Department of Justice, the entire machinery of justice, on a vendetta to persecute, to attack, to investigate, to indict, to try to throw in jail the former president, who, it should be noted, is also currently the leading contender on the Republican side to run against the current president. That has never happened at any point, no matter how bad the vitriol has gotten. Nobody has tried to do that. And part of the reason nobody has tried to do that is, for the vast majority of the history of our country, no Department of Justice would go along with it. No attorney general would countenance being turned into a political weapon to attack your political opponent. The result of today, Merrick Garland is going to go down in disgrace as the most partisan and political attorney general in our nation's history. And Joe Biden and the Biden White House has decided to hell with democracy. By the way, today is an assault on democracy. You know, one of the things about the left, the language they use, they inevitably accuse their opponents of doing what they are doing. So right now, Democrats piously frame themselves as defenders of democracy. Today is a slap in the face of democracy, because what today the Biden administration is saying is, to hell with you voters. We're worried that the voters might decide they want to reelect Donald Trump, and so we're not going to let the voters do that. We're going to bring a prosecution, and let me be clear. Look, we don't know the details of the prosecution. This indictment is still sealed, but The Biden DOJ is nothing if not political, so they leak like crazy. So we have pretty good intel on what the claims are. Now, I will say this. This podcast has said for a long time, over and over again, I've been telling Verdict listeners, Merrick Garland wants to indict Donald Trump. He intends to indict Donald Trump. Came into office with the plan to indict Donald Trump. I'm going to point out those predictions were all entirely right. I also predicted on this podcast, as we discussed, that I said, look, the indictment is not just going to be for possession of classified documents after you're out of office. That, I believe, had been the plan. That, I believe, had been what Garland wanted to do. But then he ran into an enormous political complication. It's not as much a legal complication as it is a political complication, which is that Joe Biden was discovered having done the same thing over and over and over again, that he had classified documents, it seems, in every house he owns, and he owns houses all over the place, including, most laughably, classified documents just sitting in a box in his garage next to his Corvette. Suddenly, Merrick Garland had a problem, which is if he indicts Trump just on the possession of classified documents after he's out of office, well, Joe Biden has done the same thing. And so what we predicted on this podcast is that Garland would indict Trump for obstruction of justice instead, that he would indict Trump for lying about the documents that, because Garland wouldn't indict Biden over it, he was not saying was a crime. Well, it turned out that prediction was mostly right, but not entirely right. So what it appears to be the case is that DOJ is indicting Trump for everything. They just threw the kitchen sink at him. So they're indicting him for, apparently, 18 U.S.C. Section 793E, which is obstructing an official proceeding. 18 U.S.C. Section 1512C, which is conspiracy to obstruct justice. 18 U.S.C. Section 1519, and also making a materially false statement pursuant to 18 U.S.C. Section 1001. And so they're throwing all of this. They're doing obstruction of justice, but they're also focusing on the confidential documents. So they're doing both. This indictment is garbage. This is a political attack. It is a political attack from a thoroughly corrupted and weaponized Department of Justice, and it's a sad day for America.
I got to ask you about the timing of this, and this is one of the questions that so many people are asking, and I want to get your take, Senator. The very same day that the FBI agreed to allow members of the Oversight Committee to review the documents that are allegedly tying Joe Biden to a $5 million bribery scheme with a foreign national, President Trump is informed that he's going to be indicted by the Biden Department of Justice. I don't believe that's by accident. Do you?
No. And let me say, the hypocrisy is massive. I'm sure you've seen what Biden said when asked about that. And actually, let's play it right now, because I want to point out what Biden's response was when he was asked about the evidence that he was personally implicated in a $5 million bribery scheme.
I'm supposed to walk off the stage now. Wait.
The bribery allegation, Congresswoman Nancy Mace says there's damning evidence in the FBI file that you sold out the country. Do you have a response to the congressional Republicans?
Where's the money? I'm joking.
Mr. President,
it's a bunch of malarkey.
Mr. President, what is...
It's a bunch of malarkey, Senator. We, by the way, I can't believe he said that. The comms team, I'm sure, was freaking out. The fact that he even asked that question, where's the money? We know where the damn money is. We know where it is from the bank accounts. We know where it is from the suspicious activity reports. And now members of Congress have seen where the money went to all the different Biden family accounts and shell companies.
Well, look, that is exactly right. But I want to step back for a minute. I want to put that exchange, which played out today, in context with this shameful indictment that came down today. Now, we've gone over two centuries of our nation's history without any president trying to indict his predecessor, without any president trying to indict his potential future opponent. So, look, theoretically, that ought to be a possibility. Should you possibly prosecute a former president? Yes. But the threshold should be incredibly high. Any rational person, anyone who respects our democratic system, anyone who respects our Constitution, should recognize that you shouldn't be prosecuting a former president for little ticky-tack offenses, for little nonsense offenses, that the threshold should be really damn high. So, what sort of things? If a president sold nuclear secrets to our enemies, I'd prosecute that former president for that. If a president was Benedict Arnold and conspired with our enemies against us, I'd prosecute a former president. Benedict Arnold wasn't a former president, but that's a great historical treason. If a president was receiving bribes from foreign nations, that's the kind of thing you prosecute a former president for. Now, what's astonishing is Joe Biden right now is currently facing allegations that he was personally party to a $5 million bribe from a foreign nation. That's a big damn deal. That's not a small little ticky-tack allegation. That's the sort of thing people go to prison for decades for. And his response, the smarmy, smug response, where's the money? Now, number one, where's the money? That's something Al Capone said. That's something John Dillinger, the bank robber, said. You know, when they asked him, why do you rob banks? He said, that's where the money is. That's something criminals say. Drug dealers say. El Chapo probably said, where's the money? You can't find the money. But as you noted, we actually know quite a bit about where the money went. We know that with respect to the Chinese, that there were millions of dollars that were paid to up to 12 different Biden family members. We know that with respect to the Ukrainians, that Burisma, the natural gas company, paid Joe Biden's son Hunter $1 million a year, year after year after year, $83,000 a month. So where's the money? That's one place the money is. We also know that at least in the Chinese deals, that the deals were structured with 10% for the big guy. That would be Joe Biden. That would be the current president. That's where the money is. And then this $5 million allegation, we don't know the details of it. Why? Because the FBI won't make it public. The FBI initially only showed it. Initially, they said no one can see it. Then Congress threatened to hold him in contempt. Then the FBI said, we'll show it to James Comer and Jamie Raskin, the chairman and ranking member. Then they said, we're not going to show it to anyone else. Then Congress said, we're going to hold you in contempt again. Now where the FBI is, they said, we'll show it to every member of the committee. Now look, there are 435 members of the House. Unless you're on that committee, you haven't seen those documents. There are 100 members of the Senate. I haven't seen those documents. To the best of my knowledge, no member of the Senate, other than, I guess, Chuck Grassley, may have seen those documents. So there may be one senator who's seen them. If there's another, I don't know of it. But where we are right now, on the day there are allegations, serious allegations of the kind of things for which presidents and former presidents might reasonably be indicted and prosecuted, which is taking $5 million bribes from foreign nations, Joe Biden is simultaneously mocking the allegations. Where's the money? Because he knows that the Democrats in Congress don't want to figure out where it is. He knows that his lackeys at the Department of Justice don't want to figure out where it is. And he knows that the lapdogs in the corporate media don't want to figure out where it is. There are no Woodward and Bernsteins. They don't exist anymore. You go back and read All the President's Men, Follow the Money. If some reporter out there had a shred of integrity, he would listen to Joe Biden saying, where's the money? And he would set his mission to say, I'm going to find that money and let the American people know. And none of them want to. They don't care. It doesn't matter to them if Joe Biden was receiving bribes from foreign nations. Why? Because it's all about power. And on that same day, they indict President Trump. And are there any allegations in here that Trump received a bribe from a foreign nation? No. Are there any allegations that he committed the kind of offenses that rise to the level of gravity that maybe you'd consider indicting a foreign president? No. This is about hatred. Merrick Garland hates Donald Trump. He blames him because Garland wants to be on the Supreme Court. He feels like he was robbed. And I got to say, Garland spent 24 years as a federal judge. He had built a reputation for integrity. And I am hard-pressed to think of anyone in public life who has more lit their reputation on fire than Merrick Garland, because he is happy to play political attack dog, and Joe Biden and the Democrats are all perfectly content to see it.
I got to ask you a question about Merrick Garland and to remind people about what happened to Merrick Garland in 2016. Before I do that, though, I want to tell you about our friends at Augusta Precious Metals. If you've been saving money for a long time, you know how frustrating it can be when it comes to protecting your hard-earned dollars, especially with what the markets have been doing over the last year. You've seen the bank failures. You've seen what interest rates are doing, inflation. Well, I want to tell you about a company that you should talk to, a company you can trust, Augusta Precious Metals. They're different because they'll even tell you if a gold IRA isn't your answer. Now, I actually have an account with Augusta Precious Metals, and the reason why is because I want to diversify my investments, especially when the economy is like it is right now. They're all about protecting your IRAs and your 401ks in this crazy economy. And that is the most important issue, especially when you're this close to retirement, because there is no time to make up losses. So call Augusta Precious Metals. Not only will you get their free guide on gold, which gives you a ton of insight into how a gold IRA and a 401k can work for you, but also they will do a one-on-one web conference with you. Call them today and protect your hard-earned dollars. 877, the number 4, gold IRA. 877, the number 4, gold IRA. Or online at AugustaPreciousMetals.com. That's AugustaPreciousMetals.com. Senator, I got to talk about the politics of Garland. There was a headline, and I actually went back to look in my Merrick Garland file. And when there is important stories, sometimes I'll print them and I'll put them in a file. There was a headline back in 2018 by NPR, and it said, what happened with Merrick Garland in 2016 and why it matters now? And they went into detail about how much had happened to him in the past 2 years. Many have forgotten what happened to Garland. In other words, saying, like, this man has a right to be angry. This is a man that was nominated to fill the 2016 vacancy on the Supreme Court, created by the death of Justice Scalia, an icon of the conservative movement. You had President Barack Obama that quickly named Garland. He was then 63 to fill the seat. Garland did not get a vote. And this article, written in 2018, you got to go back to 18 to see this article from NPR, they basically justified Merrick Garland being angry at the world and knowing that he had missed his chance to be a Supreme Court justice because of his age, since he didn't get it that time. You look at that article now, Senator, and it is a very interesting connection to what he seems to be doing now as the Attorney General. Is there a very good chance this could just be him settling the score, saying, you kept this from me, and watch what I can do with the power I have now?
No. No, this is not just Merrick Garland. This is Joe Biden. This is the Democrats. Merrick Garland, is this Merrick Garland's corrupt vendetta, personal vendetta? Yes, but he's doing it with the explicit embrace of the Biden White House. That's why Joe Biden put them there. And by the way, Joe Biden publicly called for the Department of Justice to investigate Donald Trump. You know, when he was campaigning for president, Joe Biden said, I'm going to leave DOJ alone. I'm not going to try to influence their decisions. And yet he violated that almost immediately after he got sworn into office, where he called on them to go after Trump. Listen, Garland is angry and he's petty, and he keeps it as a personal grudge. Look, remember the many times, and we played a lot of them on this podcast, when Garland has testified before the Senate and I and others question him. The degree of offense he feels, how dare you question me? It's this self-righteous entitlement that I don't report to anybody. I don't answer to anybody. I am the Attorney General. To hell with the law. He picks which laws to follow. He ignores the laws he doesn't want to follow. And he has this absolute view of unaccountability and self-righteousness. But it's not just him. It is a mistake to think this is just a rogue attorney general. By the way, if it were a rogue attorney general, Joe Biden could fire him. This was obvious this was coming. By the way, if it were also a rogue attorney general and a rogue FBI director, you know what Joe Biden could do? Direct the FBI, hand over the evidence concerning the allegations that I was involved in bribery. If Biden were innocent, he wouldn't say, where's the money? This is malarkey. He'd say, these allegations are false. These allegations are serious. They're lies. And I want all the information made public to show that I'm innocent. That's what he would say. He's not saying that because he knows that his loyal partisan Democrat lackeys of the Department of Justice will cover it up. They will stonewall. They will block it. And at the same time, they will go after Donald Trump with everything they have. They were slowed down. They had hoped to indict him earlier. But then suddenly the unexpected accident of Joe Biden storing classified documents all over the place made that more complicated. But this, at the end of the day, is a political attack. It is not legal. It is not the rule of law. It is not enforcing justice. It is DOJ acting as the opposition arm of the DNC, attacking their opponent. And I got to say, as someone who reveres our Department of Justice and the role it has played in the history of our nation for ensuring the fair and impartial administration of justice, today is a shocking and sad day.
I want to take a moment and have a real heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart right now. Can you feel it? That's your heartbeat telling you that you're alive. It's the same for a preborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, it's already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. We've partnered with Preborn because we need to help these precious babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues 200 babies from abortion. When a mother with an unplanned pregnancy meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine encounter that doubles a baby's chances at life. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a little baby is able to suck his or her thumb. For just $28, you can be the difference between the life or death of a child. And if you're a business owner, perhaps you can consider a larger donation for a write-off because we know the government isn't working on saving babies. A donation of $1,000, $2,000, $20,000. All gifts are tax deductible and will reach eternity. Get involved today. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. Say the keyword baby or donate securely at preborn.com/verdict. That's preborn.com/verdict.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
If you're keeping score, Senator, and this is the part that enrages so many people that are listening, you've got Hunter Biden and everything that he's done, zero indictments. The big guy, zero indictments. The Clintons and everything that we now know about the four investigations that were shut down into them. And not only those investigations, but also her classified documents and the email server. The list goes on and on. Zero indictments. You've got... You put all these together, and then you see what they're doing to Donald J. Trump. There's a question that you got to ask. Is
and by the way, there's one other I want to mention, Ben.
Sure.
So, who is the most vulnerable Democrat in the U.S. Senate right now on the ballot?
Who is it?
Joe Manchin from West Virginia, unequivocally, clearly, indisputably. Joe Manchin, incumbent Democrat senator. Trump carried West Virginia by 39 points. Manchin, most handicappers believe he is likely to lose. Now, Manchin right now is facing one of two opponents. He's either facing Jim Justice, who's the incumbent governor. He had been a Democrat. He shifted to Republican. He's running. Or Alex Mooney. Alex Mooney is a congressman. He's a strong conservative. I like Alex Mooney a lot. I've endorsed Alex Mooney. I think he's the stronger conservative and the stronger candidate. I hope Alex wins. But what did DOJ do in the last few days? In the last few days, the Department of Justice announced that it was bringing a civil case against Jim Justice's son and the companies that he ran, the coal companies that he ran, bringing the, against them multiple cases targeting Jim Justice's son. It was, so you literally have DOJ saying, who's the opponent of the most vulnerable Democrat senator? Let's go bring a case against their son. Within hours of them saying, oh, and let's indict former President Trump, who is also the leading Republican candidate right now for president. Like, it is a level of absolute shamelessness. I tweeted out, I said, look, in related news, the DNC has closed down its headquarters in Washington, D.C. and simply moved into the fifth floor of the DOJ building because they had an empty conference room and they figured they might as well share administrative costs. This is, I don't understand an attorney general that just says, I'm a Democrat, I've got a bunch of prosecutors under my control, and our job is to indict anyone who's a problem for Democrats and to attack Republicans. The degree to which they are lighting on fire the integrity of the Department of Justice and the FBI is heartbreaking, and it's dangerous. And I'll tell you, Ben, there are thousands upon thousands of men and women at DOJ and the FBI that are horrified and angry, and many of them are coming as whistleblowers to Congress right now because they don't like seeing an institution that should be nonpartisan turned into a political attack weapon.
Will this open the floodgates to more whistleblowers coming forward, number one? And number two, Senator, is the Democratic Party, for all intents and purposes, dead? And I say that because I don't believe it exists anymore. I believe they're a communist party, a socialist party. I think that the Democratic Party is dead as we know it. The days of Gephardt and O'Neill and others that could work together for the good of the country, that seems to be long gone. They don't seem to be caring about what's right for this nation. I believe that the Democratic Party has died, and today is another tombstone for the Democratic movement.
Well, you know who can answer that? Each of the serving Democrats in Congress right now. If there's even a single Democrat in the Senate, if there's even a single Democrat in the House who cares about the rule of law, he or she has a chance to denounce this. I'm going to make a prediction. None of them will. To the best of my knowledge, they haven't so far. I serve on the Senate Judiciary Committee. That's the place that has jurisdiction over all of these issues. We've seen in the last week the House is very interested in the credible allegations from an informant who the FBI had relied on previously that Joe Biden, then the Vice President of the United States, now the President of the United States, was involved personally in a $5 million bribery scheme with a foreign nation. If we had a functioning Senate Judiciary Committee, we'd be holding hearings. Why is it that James Comer wants to see these documents, but Dick Durbin doesn't? Because every Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, they don't care if the president was receiving bribes from a foreign nation. And listen, I get partisan battles, although this is a point I make to Democrats all the time. It's not that hard to stand up to your own party. I stand up to my own party all the time. I battled Mitch McConnell. He and I have beaten each other bloody and bruised 1,000 different times. Democrats put partisan loyalty above everything. And by the way, if you contrast this to Richard Nixon, as you know, I'm not a fan of Richard Nixon. I think he was corrupt. I think he abused power. I think when he resigned in disgrace, it was because of incredibly bad conduct. I wrote about that at length in my last book, Justice Corrupted. But what tipped the balances was multiple Republican members of Congress said enough is enough. We can't defend this anymore. You know what's missing now? Even one Democrat, not even willing to say, like Republicans did with Nixon, enough is enough, he's got to face accountability. But even one Democrat who says, I care, I want to know. What's amazing is there's not a Democrat member of Congress who even wants to know what is the evidence that Joe Biden took bribes. They don't care. And by the way, the mainstream media doesn't care and doesn't want to know what is the evidence Joe Biden took bribes. Instead, they want to shift to the indictment. You know, I was heading over to do this podcast, I was talking with a couple of friends of mine in Dallas, and we were talking about what the podcast was going to be about tonight. And I said, yeah, I'm getting ready to record it. And it's about, of course, the Trump indictment. And one of them said, well, which Trump indictment? And I left and said, what an amazing comment that you have to say which Trump indictment. You also have to say, when you're concerning impeachments, which Trump impeachments. Trump was impeached twice. Both of them failed. Both of them were frivolous. Trump has now been indicted twice. Alvin Bragg, which we talked about at length, which was an utterly frivolous and garbage prosecution. And now this one. And by the way, this may not be the last one. You've still got in Fulton County, Georgia, another potential indictment. We may see three indictments where this is Democrats gone wild. We will indict and indict and indict the man, not because of evidence of criminal conduct, but because we hate him and because they are angry at the American people that the voters might have the temerity to elect him. And their view is, to hell with you voters, to hell with democracy. We're going to do everything we can to burn him down because we hate him that much.
Let's talk about the timeline for this. Obviously, he's going to go to court in Miami, we're being told. President Trump will. But let's talk about the timeline of what happens after that so people kind of know how long this could linger. Could this be settled or thrown out of court? Is there a chance of that before the election? Could this drag on until well after Election Day? And if that happens, then what happens if you have a president of the United States of America that is convicted of one of these crimes? If, in fact, that does, they can find a jury that does it. And before we get to that, I want to tell you about Chalk. If you're a guy and you're dealing with a real problem, and that is you're getting a little bit older and you feel like weakness and complacency is setting in, you feel like you've lost some of your edge, your strength, your vitality, well, you're not alone. It's a problem that is happening all over the country and the world. Men's testosterone levels are off a cliff historically, and they are at an all-time low. The Patriots at Chalk are here to help real American men get back your strength and vitality. Get rid of that weakness and complacency by boosting your testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. Now, I've been taking the Chalk Male Vitality Stack now for several months. I can tell you it works. I want you to go check out Chalk, chok.com. They've been manufactured right here in the US of A. Chalk's natural herbal supplements are clinically proven to have game-changing effects on your energy, your focus, your mood. So, Chalk, chok.com, use the promo code BEN for 35% off any Chalk subscription for life. chok.com, use the promo code BEN. What happens now, Senator, moving forward after the president goes to court in Miami? And then how does this play out, and will this take a long time? Could it move quickly?
Well, the president has been instructed to appear in a federal courthouse in Miami on Tuesday of next week at 3 p.m. So he will go there, presumably to be arraigned. He will plead not guilty. And then the proceedings could take a long time. I think in all likelihood these proceedings will not be over by Election Day. I think they're certainly not going to be over by the time of the primaries, by the Iowa caucuses, by New Hampshire, by South Carolina, and I think they could easily extend for years. Now, there's a chance the court throws this out. That's possible. But when you have this kind of Department of Justice prosecution with this kind of major resources, the likely outcome is it will drag on for a long, long time. And a big part of why DOJ is doing this, I don't think they really think they're going to convict the guy. I don't think Alvin Bragg really thinks that he's going to convict the guy. I think their objective is just to drag him in the mud, to crap all over him, and to attack him. It is an expression of hatred rather than a prosecution based on the facts. But in terms of timing, it could drag on potentially for years.
We've seen a lot of people that claim to be conservatives who have been saying over the last several hours, Senator, well, this is a reason why we should, you know, move on from Trump as fast as we can in the primary. He, quote, now has too much baggage. Your reaction to that, because my thought is you are innocent until proven guilty. And everything in the past they've accused Donald Trump of and impeached him on not once but twice, none of it was true. The Steele dossier wasn't true. The collusion wasn't true. The list goes on and on. And when people say, well, it's just too much baggage, that's exactly what the Democrats, these communists, want, is for people to say, hey, if we can bury a Republican, whether it's in West Virginia, whether it's the presidential race, if we can take out front runners running for governor or Senate in different races by saying they, quote, have too much baggage, then we win every election.
Well, I think the voters are going to decide that. But I think here's what Democrats believe, I think. I think Democrats believe these indictments help Donald Trump in the primary and hurt him in the general election. When Alvin Bragg brought his indictments, you and I did an emergency podcast. We did it within hours of the indictment. We put it out very, very quickly. And that night, what I predicted is that would be a 10-point bump in the polls. That proved exactly right. Trump went up 10 points. Prior to that, Trump and DeSantis had been relatively close in the polls, but when Alvin Bragg brought that utterly frivolous garbage indictment, my comment at the time is that may have been the single greatest in-kind contribution to the Trump campaign and to any political campaign in the history of the Federal Elections Commission. I think Democrats believe that indictment and this indictment will benefit Trump in the primary, but I think Democrats also believe it will hurt Trump in the general election. I think they believe that if they throw so much mud at Trump, that it may make general election voters less likely to vote for him. And look, you gotta view this from the perspective of a hardcore partisan Democrat. If you want Joe Biden to get reelected, you can't run on his record. His record is terrible. You can't run on the economy. You can't run on immigration. You can't run on foreign policy. You can't run on Afghanistan. You can't run on crime. Like, everything Biden has touched substantively has gone to crap. So your only hope, and I think this is the entire Democrat political strategy, is to hide Joe Biden in the basement, because you certainly can't have him talk to the American people because he's not up to it. But your hope is to hide him in the basement and run an entire campaign attacking Donald Trump. And I think Democrats believe the more times they have partisan and biased prosecutors indicting Trump, the more they'll be able to throw mud at him. I'm skeptical that that's going to work, but I think that's what their strategy is.
I want to ask you one last question about some breaking news that's come out of the Biden bribery allegations. There is one thing here that we now know that has been leaked. And apparently Joe Biden allegedly got paid $5 million by a Burisma executive as part of the bribery scheme, according to the FBI document. Now, before we get to that, let me tell you about Patriot Mobile. If you're like me and you're just sick and tired of giving your money to woke companies that go after your family values, well, for years, when it comes to your cell phone service, you just had to go with the big companies. You didn't have another option. It didn't exist. Not anymore. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer you dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. What does that mean? You get the same great coverage you're used to. You can get even maybe better coverage than you have right now without the woke propaganda pushed by leftists working hard to destroy this country. Now, when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, our military, our veterans, and even helping with adoptions. They are a company that when you pay your bill every month, they actually give back a portion of your bill without any extra cost to you to these causes. They're 100% U.S.-based customer service team, making switching easy. So go to patriotmobile.com/verdict. Or you can call them 878-PATRIOT. Use the promo code VERDICT for free activation and great offers. 878-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/verdict. Senator, we got more information. Biden's son, Hunter, was obviously a board member of Burisma. Pretty much, I think everybody knows that. He's also allegedly in on this scheme in this FBI document. But now we know that President Joe Biden was allegedly paid $5 million by an executive of the Ukrainian natural gas firm Burisma Holdings, where his son, Hunter Biden, also sat on the board. This confidential human source, a highly trusted source, told the FBI apparently during a June 2020 interview. Sources familiar have now said to Fox News. The source briefed Fox News on the contents of the FBI-generated FD-1023 form, alleging a criminal bribery scheme between then-Vice President Joe Biden and a foreign national that involved influence over U.S. policy. What's interesting about this coming out is Vice President Joe Biden clearly was in a position, in his own words, to influence natural gas positions and loans, government aid dollars going to Ukraine. This is extremely damning just on the face of it.
Yeah, if this is true, it is shocking. And this is the first I'm hearing of it. Like as you're reading it to me in the midst of this podcast, I haven't read this article yet. I haven't seen this information. This is breaking literally this moment. But, you know, I will say Joe Biden, by his own description and by Obama's description, was the Obama administration's point person on Ukraine policy. We know that Joe Biden exercised that authority. There's the famous son of a bitch exchange, which Biden said, describing how he went to Ukraine and demanded the firing of the prosecutor who was going after the corrupt oligarch who owned Burisma. And as he put it, he held $1 billion of U.S. aid hostage. And in Joe Biden's words, son of a bitch, they fired the guy. Well, if it is true that Joe Biden received $5 million from an executive at Burisma, that's stunning. And on its face, that screams of criminal bribery. That not only screams of bribery, if that is true, that is an undoubtedly impeachable offense, and it is a criminal offense for which Joe Biden should serve a long jail term. Now, I don't know if it's true, so I want to be clear. This is a leaked discussion of an allegation from an informant, so it may not be true. But holy crap, contrast this to Trump had some documents like Biden had, like Pence had, like every foreign president had that were classified, and he didn't have them locked up all that well. Like, in terms of allegations, that's pretty mild stuff.
Yeah, this
in terms of allegations that you got $5 million from a, what?
Yeah, I was going to say that this new information and what it says, to your point, it says, this FD-1023 form dated June 30th, 2020 is the FBI's interview with, quote, a highly credible confidential source who detailed multiple meetings and conversation that he or she had with a top Burisma executive over the course of several years, starting in 2015. The form is used by the FBI agents to record unverified reporting from confidential human sources. The form is used to document information is told to an FBI agent. There's a lot of conversations, apparently, here, Senator, that this informant said, hey, this wasn't just one time. There were multiple detailed meetings and conversations that this informant had with a top Burisma executive over the course of several years about this bribery with the Biden family.
Well, let me say this, to quote Joe Biden, where's the money? And if it can be proven that Joe Biden received $5 million from a Burisma executive for making official decisions that benefited Burisma in Ukraine, Joe Biden should go to jail for a very long time. Now, I don't know that that's true, but you know what? We ought to have this document public. We ought to have this informant testify public. The American people have a right to know, is it true? And if it's not, you know who should be most angry about it? Joe Biden. The person, if it's false, the person who should most want this information made public is Biden. And the fact that he's stonewalling and DOJ is stonewalling, the FBI is stonewalling, that raises a serious inference that they're covering something up.
Yeah, great point. This is going to be a very interesting, tough week, obviously, for Donald Trump. We're going to be covering it. We'll give you updates on it. We'll also make sure that you know about the, all this news that the media is not covering, especially with this bribery scheme that they are accusing the president of being involved in now with a Burisma executive is what the reporting's saying. So don't forget, hit that follow button if you're listening on Apple. Hit that subscribe or auto download button if you're listening anywhere else so you do not miss an episode. If there is breaking news that happens, we will do a special pod, so you don't want to miss it. Make sure you hit that subscribe or auto download button, and we will see you back here in a couple of days.
Ben Ferguson here, and if you're an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be a part of your investment portfolio. And I want you to visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investments to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that historically delivers sound returns. Learn more now at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.